Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Bros Pod is, of course, brought to you by BetOnline. They're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. So head to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code BLEAV50, that's B-L-E-A-V 50, to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball, postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Everybody, boys and girls, welcome to another version of Bill Roden on Sports. I'm Bill Roden here in an enclave up in upstate New York, though I will be heading down at some point soon, heading into a sports weekend. What's been a great sports week filled with controversy, which, of course, is what we like. The media, we feed on that. They just feed us. you know, it's the worst part of our industry. Anyway, here with my friend and co-host, the great Jamal Murphy. Murph, what's going on down in Brooklyn?
What's up, Bill? Here in Brooklyn, the borough you give no respect to, but that's fine.
Well, just because I don't want to go there?
Yeah, that's part of it. That's a big part of it.
I mean, I know what the deal is. I used to live in Park Slope.
That's right.
And people, you know, you give a party, get together, and people, oh, man, I had to go to Brooklyn. You know, it's like,
it's still like, damn. That. So, yeah, you know, everything is good here. But like you said, a whole lot going on sports-wise, a lot of, like, controversial stories, and it's getting everybody all riled up. And, of course, you know, it starts with the NFL.
Yeah, of course. You know, the NFL, of whatever integrity is left, you know, now we've got Aaron Rodgers' game.
Right,
you know,
right.
Because Rodgers, you know, who's going to miss Sunday showdown with the Kansas City Chiefs, and that's the only thing that gets the NFL pissed and the network execs, because they had this great thing with Rodgers and Mahomes, yep. You know, at Arrowhead. Now, of course, Rodgers is going to miss the game because he had COVID, and then as you continue to pull the strands, oh, wait a minute, comes out that he was never vaccinated, although at the very beginning of the season, they just asked what's his vaccination status, and he cleverly said, I'm immunized. You know, he got some apparent witch doctor, some herbal hoodoo to, like, give him some shit,
right.
You know. And the NFL, and he asked NFL to acknowledge it, and the NFL said no. And then, right. and so under our thing, you're not vaccinated, which raised the question, well, wait a minute. If you said the guy's not vaccinated and you saw week after week he's going around unmasked, you had to know that he was not vaccinated, yet right. You did nothing about it. So here we go, you know, how deep will this investigation go? And this at the same time, we're trying to get emails. We're still trying to get emails from the Gruden fallout. We're trying to figure out, you know, can we get some more emails about what other racist stuff do you have access to? So not only have you that, but you have this potential COVID cover-up favoring Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure a bunch of players should be storming the NFLPA's office. So wait a minute, you know, we have to jump through all these hoops about COVID and yet you got the star of the league, clearly was not vaccinated. You knew it. This guy gets 8 weeks of a pass. So, yeah. You know, how do you unpack that, Jamal?
Well, going back to the NFL and the email situation and the Washington football team investigation, we're not getting those emails because I think they've already been burned. They've been burned or whatever the
they've been fried.
Whatever the IT people can do to them, they are gone. They won't even write a report. They won't even put anything on paper to make sure that there is no paper trail, and you will never know what happened with that. So that's who we're dealing with right here. So if, like you said, and I don't see they had to, they obviously knew Aaron Rodgers' status because, like you said, they denied him of being officially classified as vaccinated despite his, whatever he got to be immunized. I don't know what that even means. You know, maybe like you said, maybe they gave him, some green pills or something. I don't know exactly what it was. But, the NFL is going to, expect another cover up. Whatever they have to do to make sure that they get no blame out of this, they'll do. And, if they have to, maybe they'll throw Aaron Rodgers under the bus. We'll see. But like you said, they knew all along. They also knew that had to know all along that he wasn't following the same protocols as everyone else is supposed to. I started thinking about, I wonder how Cam Newton feels about all this.
Well, he's one couldn't get a job because he wasn't immunized.
Right.
And he said he wasn't immunized.
Right.
Yeah, as opposed to, I really am. Instead of lying about it.
And what's that all about? I mean, you're lying, so you're ashamed? That's what you always wonder about the people who are anti-vax or not getting the vaccine. If you have to lie about it, you probably just should do it. Like that probably means deep down inside you're not doing the right thing.
Or admit it. I mean, because remember we got on Lamar Jackson for saying he wasn't vaccinated, Cole Beasley, they came out and said and had to deal with that backlash. Suppose this guy who says, well, I'm immunized, and then people just kind of let it go because I guess people said, oh, okay, immunized. Yeah. That means you're vaccinated.
Yeah, and then he also went on right away to say, yeah, I'm immunized, and, I'm not going to judge those other players if they got it or not. Like, what?
But like he's holier than now.
Yeah, he's basically, you're straight up lying. You're pretending to be one of the players vaccinated. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. And but the only thing is, what kind of punishment are we talking about? Like, not criminal.
Well, it's not criminal. I mean, do you punish somebody for lying? And the NFL of all institutions for lying. So what do they do if they find out, do you suspend him? Do you really hurt the Packers, by saying not just one game, two games, you're going to miss like the next, three games or something. And we're going to, force you to get immunized unless you get vaccinated. If you get vaccinated, then you could play. I don't know what they can do. I know Jordan Love is probably saying, give him five games.
Or hopefully we hope that's his attitude if he's going to go, that'll be a better case for him actually playing well while he gets his chance now. But I think the NFL, I would think they have to at least punish the team, because if they can at least throw Green Bay under the bus and say, you guys messed up, we all knew he wasn't vaccinated, but you allowed him to skirt the protocol calls that were supposed to be in place for unvaccinated players, because we know that he was showing up without a mask. He was at a Halloween party that with all these pictures that were taken with a whole bunch of other players, and he had no mask on, and that's against protocol. And they have also punished other teams for not following protocol in the past. They punished the Ravens. They punished Denver pretty severely. So I think they have to do something towards Green Bay, just for the fact that protocols were broken, but also to save their own asses and make them look better.
Right. Then I guess, I guess there really was no breakout. Did some Green Bay players have COVID? I know that the backup, another quarterback is on, but I don't know if they had multiple players with COVID.
I know they had a couple players who missed last week. I know, I think Lazard, one of their wide receivers, was out with COVID last week. He's back this week. So there was obviously something
going on. Maybe he got it from Aaron Rodgers.
Maybe. But that also gets into, you know, even prior to this, you know, I had talked to people who felt that Aaron Rodgers gets a pass in general. Even the way he's treated by the media, you know, he's treated as, you know, one of the best quarterbacks in the league and, you know, and a winner when it's been a while since he's won. And
he won one Super Bowl. That's it.
Right. But people treat him, you know, almost just a notch below Brady.
Exactly. They do. I mean, you hear this fawning all over the guy, and his whole thing of being this rebel kind of guy tells it like it is. But yeah, he lies.
Right.
You know, he lies about his status. So it'll be interesting. Well, not interesting. It'll be telling what kind of scrutiny he comes after now. I mean, I wonder if State Farm, what's State Farm going to do? Are they going to still have him as their face? You know.
Good question.
You know, what did he tell State Farm?
Right.
You know, and the brother who's like the face of State Farm, you know, sort of the actor.
Right. You know,
is he going to say anything? Hey, man, I thought the brother was, you know, I thought he was vaccinated.
Right.
Right. Unbelievable.
No. And you know, getting back to how the media treats Rodgers, I mean, compare his career to Russell Wilson. I mean, what's the difference? You know, but he definitely gets way more hype than Russell Wilson.
Way more. Russell's been to the Super Bowl twice.
Right. And won one also.
Won one also. So
this reminds me of another, you know, this story. I don't think we were going to talk about this. Like, we didn't talk about this, but it reminds me, you know, last week when they were asking Tomlin, coach of Pittsburgh, when they were asking Tomlin, about, you know, whether he was going to take the USC job because, you know, Pittsburgh is struggling this year. And he, you know, he lost it. It was like, you're asking me if I'm going to take the USC. He's like, they don't have a booster with a large enough check for that. He was like, do you ask Sean Payton this stuff?
Right.
Do you ask Andy Reid this stuff? You know, right. So it's the same kind of thing. Like, why he's not treated like Payton and Andy Reid, just like Russell Wilson's not treated like Aaron Rodgers, despite the same resume. And,
Though Andy Reid might be interested in that USC job now.
That's true. You never know.
You know, Sean Payton too. You know, one more. You know, but it's the level of respect. I mean, the fact that that his name was mentioned by Carson Palmer.
Right.
Palmer is the one who leaked.
That's right.
Leaked Tomlin's name. But again, but to your point, even that is he mentioned as one of the great, you know, Reed is, you know, every week that he's always so innovative and whatever.
Right.
And so, wait a minute, this guy took him like 50 years to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
You know, the same thing, Sean Payton got one.
Right.
You know,
and he's had bad years. Sean Payton's had like, you know, years where his team was terrible, you know, a couple. But Tomlin has not. And Tomlin has. Actually has terrible teams sometimes, like this year. His team is terrible, but they're still 500. Right. Like he doesn't have teams under 500. Like, I mean, you know, despite an old and aging Roethlisberger, you know, all kind of injuries year after year, he still somehow keeps them, you know, above water. Whereas these other guys, you put them in the same situation, it's not happening.
Well, that's, I guess, this is all accrues to what we call the black tax.
Right.
You know, is that whatever your accomplishments, no matter how much you achieve, if you're black, it's never quite the same as your white colleague in any profession.
Right.
In any profession, no matter what you achieve, you never get the shine that your white counterparts do. And that no matter what, whether it's the president of the United States or the CEO of a company.
Right.
You know, you never acquire. And again, that gets back to this institutionalized racism and white supremacy, you know, that black folks just are not perceived as being equal, you know. And even in terms of looking at this, we always go back to this quarterback thing, and we'll get to your quarterback rating. And I keep thinking about they're still waiting for Baker Mayfield. I mean, you know, finally, I guess maybe both shoulders will have to fall off. Before they, you know, And remember the kid in San Diego, they were declaring him the next big thing. They were trying to make Trevor Lawrence the next big thing. And then eventually, you know, and now the kid down at the Jets, your team, who's the kid who comes in and has the great game?
Mike White.
Mike White, right. You know, Mike White. And it's like, you know, it's the desperation for this white hope is just endless. It's like day to day, week to week, who can we, you know, we need to find a white hope. I guess maybe they say it's just a business decision. You know, we need white heroes to appease all these white fans you see blocking these stadiums. It's just so funny. Time after time, they always topple, you know, where brothers, you know, exceed and succeed, but it's always, well, you know,
it's not enough. It's still never enough. They make it seem as though those guys didn't succeed.
Right. It's routine. So, yeah, so I'm curious to find out how the NFL, the only thing the NFL has got for itself is that, you know, the NFL is like a big drug pusher and NFL football is a drug and you've got lots and lots of addicts,
right.
You know, us included.
Right.
You got people who are addicted to football,
right.
You know, and the NFL is a pusher and that's a very powerful drug. And when you add betting onto that, you've got a ton of addicts, you know, so there's very little that the NFL can do that will turn off people to the extent that it hurts the business because people need it. They like, you know, they'll do whatever addicts do to get their fix, you know, the weekly fix, the Monday fix, the Thursday fix, Saturday fix, you know, and yeah. Hell, I was there too. I said, man, if y'all put it on Wednesday, I'll watch that too.
I'll watch it on a Wednesday. Yeah, the only thing that could really hurt the NFL is extreme injury. And I mean, we have, you know, I mean, and to the star players, and that's, I guess they've taken care of that by not allowing you to touch the quarterback for the most part, especially a white quarterback. They really don't let you touch a white quarterback in the pocket. Black quarterback, get out of the pocket. They, you know,
you're treat him like a halfback.
Kind of fair game.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I think the only thing that would hurt the NFL is that if a gambling scandal broke out and they actually saw that there were stars who were throwing games.
Right.
I think that might begin to erode the integrity. That and a player, I think if a player died on the field.
Right.
That would be tough. You know, but these scandals, I mean, we talk about the guy Henry Ruggs from the Raiders. You know, the Raiders had just been under this whole cloud with John Gruden. And, you know, people just allowed them to kind of get past that. Then you've got this second-year player, Henry Ruggs, at 3:45 in the morning, drives his Corvette 157 miles an hour and plows into this car, killing this 23-year-old woman and her dog.
Right.
You know, and it's just you can't indict the entire league for that. And I don't know really what to say, except it's heartbreaking. And Ruggs's entire life, as it should be upended. His football career should probably be over. I don't think there should be he got cut by the released by the Raiders. I don't think.
Yeah. That day, that night.
Yeah. Immediately. You know, it's just a rough week for the National Football League. And then, you know, then we've had the trading deadlines and you have Von Miller, this 10-year vet, all pro, whatever, gets virtually just kind of booted out of Denver overnight.
Right.
You know, he wakes up a Denver Bronco, then he's like, well, now you're Los Angeles Rams.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Back to Ruggs, you know, tragic incident, like you said, 157 miles per hour. I mean, to me, he was you know, two times above the blood alcohol limit. Also had a loaded gun in the car.
Right.
He was traveling with the mother of his child, and she was seriously injured in the passenger seat. I mean, that's going 157 miles per hour. That's suicidal behavior. You know, your mind is not right. And you say, obviously you can't indict the league over that, but there's some connection.
I think that's there, you know, like that allows you to play, like when you're playing that type of sport, and obviously this doesn't, not everybody, but obviously not everybody's mental health is being monitored or helped, because that, to me, that's just suicidal behavior. To go, to be going that fast with a loaded gun. This is, you know, he's only 21 years old, or 22 years old. He was a 12th overall pick last year out of Alabama. You know, it's just a, you know, such a sad, sad story.
Yeah.
Then they have to play a game Sunday. You know, like his teammates play a game Sunday. You know, Derek Carr was talking about that today. You know, hey, we got a job to do. You know, it's terrible, but we got to.
I don't get what you say, except, you know, the woman, I don't know anything about the woman and her family.
Right.
You know, but I had no idea, but, you know, the family should receive lifetime help.
Right.
From the Raiders, you know, whatever that entails, you know, but although nothing will bring back that child.
Right.
So I don't really know what you say. Like I said, you can't indict the Raiders or the NFL, but you're right. It's maybe the byproduct of a sport like that. That's high risk, very violent. You know, it's like, it was like 3:45 in the morning.
Right.
You know, so yeah, I mean, what, you know, you got this, your toy, because somebody said, well, he's twice legal limit. That's why you should take Ubers and all that. But the point is that you don't want to Uber. You got this money and you got this car you probably always dreamt of having. You got all these toys probably for the first time that you've been able to afford, and you want to play with, you know. And I guess there's a sense of entitlement where you're an NFL player or an MLB player or an NBA player. And, you know, in our society, man, you know, celebrity trumps everything. Visibility trumps everything. How many followers, how many clicks? It's almost an obsession to be seen, to be visible, to be a star. And if you're in the NFL, that's one of the prime pillars of American culture, is to be an NFL star at Alabama, now with the Raiders. And I guess there probably is this God complex that comes along with that stuff, where in your particular sphere of people you run with, you are the big dog of your group. You know, even if you're not a starter, whatever, you play pro football, you're in the NFL, you know, you get a big salary. You could afford the fast car, you know, you could afford the fast life or whatever, you know, and you're 21, 22. If you could imagine yourself at 21, 22, I don't know, man, it's like, I don't know what you could say, except it's tragic. And like you said, it's not necessarily the fault of the NFL, but in a way, it's kind of it could be a byproduct of that industry.
Right. And we've talked about that before with other things, with domestic violence and other acts of violence that's happened. This was also an act of violence and just, you know, extreme, obviously, you know, either carelessness for other people, but also yourself, you know, to do something like that. I mean, it falls into the same kind of category, and we've discussed it in other circumstances. And it just jumped out to me that this is also part of it. You know, jumping in a car and going 156 miles per hour. I mean, I can't relate. You know,
right? I know. I mean, I get, you know, when I drive a lot, and me, when I get to like 80, I'm like, you know, man, this is like really too fast. You know. Right, imagine like that times two. And I've been on the highway. I've seen people, man, who just blow by you.
Right.
You know, and then with a loaded gun, it's just, and I think kind of getting back to the, you know, the mental health thing. And I think sometimes with athletes, you know, we probably, whether it's Naomi Osaka, Simone Biles, we still probably do not take them serious as well. You're an athlete and you're having fun. You're getting all the celebrity, you're a gymnast, or you're a football player, basketball player. What troubles do you have? And whatever trouble, you make enough money to be able to hire a shrink, you know, two of them.
Right.
So,
well, you know what they say, more money, more problems. So they probably have more mental issues than the average person. You know, when you're up in that stratosphere in terms of what you're making and the pressure that's involved, you know, all that kind of stuff. It's like, you know, people are getting on Ben Simmons now. You know, it's so funny, the mental health aspect of this, like, where you got commentators like, oh, well, you know, he's saying he has mental health issues, and we don't want to dismiss that, but then they go and dismiss it, you know. Oh, but he's probably lying or whatever, or like, he probably, you know. I'm like, really? The guy shot 26% from the foul line in the playoffs. You don't think he had mental health issues? That's what that is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's some issues if you're a professional basketball player and you're shooting 26%. Something's going on up there. So it's not hard to believe that he has some pressures and is overwhelmed.
I guess there have been terrible foul shooters throughout the history. But 26%, that means you've rarely ever hit a free throw.
I get Shaq. We'll give Shaq an excuse because his hands are too big or whatever. Hey, he shot 50. He shot about 45-50%.
Yeah, 26% is you know, you had a guy like Calvin Ridley, I think, from the Falcons.
Yes.
Who said that he needed to step away.
Right.
You know, from the game, and you know, in this country where we value, like, money is our highest value. So everything can be dismissed because you're making money. Well, what do you mean? You're making money.
Right.
You know, you can afford to buy, you know, a nice house by your mother, you know. So what problems could you have? You know, so.
Yeah. And you constantly hear it, like, people saying, oh, well, you know, oh, he's making all this money. That's like the first thing people's responses. Oh, he's making all this money. He's making all this money. Like, what? Like, why is that even coming into it? It's just your jealousy that person's making more money. I wish I was making that much money too. I think maybe I don't. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I'd be willing to take my chance. Yeah.
Right.
You know, if you think that whatever issues you got can be erased by money, you're right. It creates some others,
right.
But that ain't one of them. You know.
Right. At least you can go wherever you want at any time.
Yeah. Well, that's just, again, the Henry Ruggs thing kind of brings that up, but it's just a tragic situation. His life, his family's life, everybody who knew him,
right.
You know, will never be the same, probably, nor should it be.
Right. And he actually lost his best friend. There's an article. He lost his best friend to a car accident like 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago.
Wow. Yeah, it's just a terrible story. Then yet, we're keeping that vein of terrible stories. We moved to the NBA. You know, we've got ESPN dropped a story about Suns owner Robert Sarver, who at the very least is painted as just a terrible boss.
Right.
Just not a great person to be around.
And we knew that was already public.
Yeah. I didn't realize, you know, because I figure in Arizona, man, which is struggling, whether it be purple or red, you know, that, you know, Arizona is just a different kind of state, but this guy, just a terrible person apparently. But the story is about detailing a lot of unnamed sources talk about his racism,
right.
His misogyny,
right.
Just his language, you know, just not a good person. And I'm not sure what the anecdote is there. I don't know if, unlike the Clippers guy,
Sterling.
Mm-hmm. There's no smoky gun. I mean, there's no tape recording of all the stuff that he allegedly said.
Yet.
Well, maybe something will emerge. Email.
Right. Yeah. You know, once it rains, it pours. You know that. Like once you're a little vulnerable, more things seem to come out in these type of stories. But, you know, you're right. As of right now, it's just kind of he said, she said. You have Earl Watson, former coach of the Suns, former NBA player. He came out and said, you know, Sarver, you know, used the N-word in front of him in a context of asking why Draymond Green was allowed to say it. How come I can't say it? And then Watson says, you know, he told him he couldn't say it. Then they had an issue of his agent being Rich Paul and Clutch, and supposedly Sarver had an issue with that, and Watson claims that's why he ended up being fired. So, but like you said, there's no proof of anything yet, but it sure looks believable.
Well, yeah, man, I think it probably is believable. I mean, the fact that you have one adult saying he used the N-word and this other white man saying I never did, knowing it was just him and Watson. Right. That's, you know, that whole, you know, the former disgraced president saying, you know, deny.
Right.
I say, no, I didn't say that. I never said that. Right. You know? Right. And that's what this guy's doing. But again, we're in a climate where, you know, yeah, I don't doubt it. You know, I mean, sure, he said it, but, you know, let's wait to see if somebody actually comes through with the recording, with the video recording, or with the email, with the letter, with something that puts him at the scene as a crime.
Right, because with going back to the Donald Sterling situation with the Clippers, I mean, obviously that was the big thing. The girlfriend had the recording. There was nothing he could really say to deny it. We all could hear what he said. And you know, the NBA was then allowed to come in and kind of force him out. I don't think there's any way the NBA could do that at this point, based on, you know, the evidence is just not strong enough. It doesn't seem.
Right. Yeah, clearly. But then you had the black general manager throw Watson under the bus, you know, when there was some exchange where, you know, Watson said that Sarver was toxic. Then Sarver screamed back, "You're toxic." Then you had Jones come in and say, "Yeah, well, a lot of stuff that Watson said, he was, you know, inappropriate language and stuff." So we kind of threw Watson a little bit under the bus. Then you say, "Well, he's a, you know, the black GM. What's he supposed to say?"
Right.
You know, he's got a job. And, you know, I'm curious, what does star black players say? And then, of course, you know, you got Monty Williams, who's
right. And but the interesting thing, you got Chris Paul, who was part of the Sterling situation, right? He was with the Clippers when all that went down. Remember they took their jerseys off or something and put them in the middle of the court, whatever they did after that. But now Chris Paul is here once again, where the owner, I mean, you know, accused of doing basically the same kind of stuff. And Chris Paul's got to be like, Jesus, I can't get away from this stuff.
Right. I really know how to choose them. Yeah. Exactly. So that's, and then of course, thinking with the NBA, you've got Scottie Pippen in the soon to be unreleased autobiography, which was written with a friend of the program, the author Mike Arkosh, who we hope to have on this show. That's been making the rounds now, you know, with Scottie really becoming vocal about not being respected. And I don't know if you say he hates Michael Jordan, or do you think he really does, or is this for sales?
I don't know. I think Scottie's hurt, man. I think he is genuinely hurt for whatever reason. I don't know if he hates Jordan, but he's upset about how everything went down, how he's portrayed. I don't think he feels like he gets the respect he deserves, even though, I mean, he was a top 50 guy. He's a top 75 guy. I always thought he was a little overrated, to tell you the truth. You know, he's complaining like that Jordan got all the credit in the Last Dance documentary. Jordan got all the credit during the time they played together, but, you know, Jordan would have never been what he is without them. And I think Jordan said that. He, during the documentary, Jordan said, "I wouldn't be Michael Jordan if it wasn't for Scottie Pippen." You know, he gave him that kind of credit. I don't know what else he wants. I think actually Jordan's taking that a little too far, because I disagree. You know, I was, you know, if you're 30 and under, you probably don't remember this era. You don't remember the mid-90s era. So, and there are a lot of people in the industry under, you know, around that 30s, early 30s or whatever, that probably don't remember. But, I mean, Jordan was really that guy. Like there's no really, nobody's exaggerating how good Michael Jordan was. Like, he was that good. Like, it's hard to overstate how good he was. And I hated him when he was playing, because he was killing my Knicks. I hated him, you know. But when it was over, like, that guy was serious, okay? He had an MVP way before He went on those runs with the Bulls, okay? He was the face of the league. Remember with Spike Lee and Mars Blackman and all them?
Right.
Late 80s, early right.
90s. Maybe Scotty should blame Spike Lee. Say, how come you couldn't make a commercial with me?
Exactly. And I'm sure that's next. That's the way this thing sounds.
It's going to kill Spike Lee now.
it's going to kill Spike Lee. Like, you prop Jordan up. Like, are you serious? When I remember when Scottie Pippen first got there, he as a rookie, he wasn't much. Like, nobody really expected him to do much. And it's almost like Jordan had, from my perspective, it's almost like Jordan had to raise him up to the proper level. Remember when they were losing to Detroit, and he's mad that they put this in the documentary, but he had that migraine game.
The migraine, right.
It was always, and don't get me wrong, I'm not killing Scottie Pippen because I might have had a migraine too, having to go against the bad boys. And Mahorn and Rodman just clubbing me over the head every time I went to the basket. I get it, but
they were clubing Jordan too.
You know, exactly,
it was documented. They were like beating the hell out of him. You know?
Exactly. So Jordan was like another breed. Okay, so
right,
you
yeah. So me, could,
Jordan made Pippen. As far as I'm concerned, Jordan made Pippen as a basketball player. Okay, right. Pippen deserves credit. He definitely helped the Bulls get those championships. He played a large part in that. Don't get me wrong. But, like, to be mad at Michael Jordan or act like he's getting too much praise, that's just ridiculous.
Well, Scotty should do his own documentary.
Right. You know? See how many people you watch.
Know? Yeah, you do your documentary. And what would that be like? You know, I mean, if you made Scotty the star of that documentary, what are the highlight films? Most of the highlight films would still be about Jordan.
Right. Right, passes to Jordan.
Passes to Jordan. Watching Jordan when he shot, and then this stream of cut. Yes, and then I passed it to Michael Jordan. You know, exactly. Or I was open because five people were on Michael Jordan.
I mean, he's been, you know, he's been going on, and he's been saying a lot of stuff. You said that Phil Jackson was racist for allowing Kukoc to take that shot, which. You know, it's debatable. I remember at the time, you know, people were like, oh, why is he letting Kukoc be the star here? So it's not like unheard of that commentary. But I mean, Kukoc made the shot, man. And under no circumstances in sports are you allowed to just take yourself out of the game. Like, like that's never acceptable. Like I'm surprised he was forgiven for that. I remember watching that game. I remember where I was. I was watching that game. In the city, church in Manhattan, you know, like a sports bar. And this guy, they're playing the Knicks. He takes himself out of the game. And then Kukoc hits the shot that you were mad that you didn't take. And they win. Like, come on.
That's kind of issue. There was that. Again, like the Detroit stuff. So, but I don't know, but it's, you know, hopefully it will increase sales of this book.
Right.
And hopefully. We'll have, you know, Mike Arkosh on to talk all about it.
Right.
Because
he does have a great story. I mean, he wasn't supposed to be a top 50, top 75 guy when he, like, you know, he came Central Arkansas. You're not even supposed to get drafted from there. So he has a great story. But he just needs to let this Michael Jordan stuff go.
Yeah, well, forget that. Yeah. Because he's got a whole book about it.
That's true.
Yeah, probably not just about that, but about everything else. Then you had LeBron James, you know, obviously one of the greatest basketball players ever, getting out of his lane and talking about the Cleveland Browns situation with Odell Beckham.
Right.
You know, tweeting out, free Odell.
Right, That's his guy.
That's his guy. I guess, you know, you could say it's a Cleveland thing. It's Ohio thing.
That's right.
Know?
That's right.
You know, you talk about a fall from grace, man. Beckham, kind of like Ben Simmons, like you were saying, you know, they don't even want him around. Like, you know, just go home. Just go to your room.
This is like the new age in sports. Like, you just, we're going to keep paying you, but you just can't be around. Just get out of here.
You know, bizarre, another bizarre situation with Deshaun. We'll rather lose. That's a multi-billionaire thing. We ain't letting... What the owner of the late owner of the Texans say, you know, we don't let the inmates run the asylum.
Right.
So we'd rather you sit, you know, and not pay. We'll pay you your salary. just don't show up. You're not going to play, even as we go 0-1, 0-2, 0-3, 0-4, 0-5. You know, doesn't matter. Because, again, we know that people are addicted to our game. And if they're going to show up, they're going to, like, stick that needle in that thing. You know, even if they lose week after, even with our best player, us say, no, we don't want you to play. And we're not going to trade you, you know.
And also, you know, they know they can get away with it, too, with the fan base, right? You know, like, you do this because they know the fans will agree with them. Will say, right, you know, this guy, you
this
know,
black, this selfish. Black guy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a time. I'm sure, and, you know, I'm just bringing it up. There very well could have been a time where this was done to a white player. But I can't think of
it. Before there were black players in the league, I'm sure.
right. Which was a time, you know, which was a time.
I know some people are like, when was that? But no, you're that, I'm sure maybe one of our listeners will tell us LinkedIn or tweet out a time.
Yeah.
I did get somebody from LinkedIn direct message and say that he liked our discussion last week about how with Khalid Green, how basketball was becoming this middle class sport now. You know.
Right. Right.
Which was very interesting. Yeah, so I guess finally, is it finally yet?
Yeah,
it's finally. You know, our friend Dusty Baker. You know, I couldn't even watch the last game. I watched it, you know, I watched the series, and I was ashamed that in game, I guess, 4, they fell by 4-0 on a grand slam home run.
Right.
And I said, over. And I was delighted to wake up, find that they'd come back and won the game. And I watched the game, I watched it again. But this time, game 5, when the guy hit that 3-run home run, Tim told me it's over. They're not coming back from that.
Right.
I just couldn't stand to watch, you know, Dusty, you know, lose again, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I tuned in late. Like, I think, I, you know, baseball, so you tend to forget it's on sometimes. And I remember right. Game 6, I forgot about it. And then someone was talking about it, and they mentioned they're down 6. I think they said they're down 6-1. I'm like, what? They're losing 6-1? So yeah. I couldn't even turn to it either. And it was a double whammy for me because I'm rooting for Dusty Baker. But then I also hate the Braves, you know, with a passion as a Mets fan and just in general, like just the Braves, something about the Braves in general. I just
The whole war shop thing.
It's terrible. So just I could not watch them win. And you know, I got friends and family in Atlanta or just in the South period, like North Carolina, and they're all Braves fans. I just couldn't, you know, I'm booing them for being happy. I can't take it.
Yeah, then you got the trial of Aubrey taking place. I think they've got the jury, all white jury except one.
Are we still in 1966? They got back in 66, they would have been none, no black.
Right.
But I guess they got one black juror. The judicial system right there. That you're allowed to just strike off jurors because they're black and come up with any excuse. And that,
right.
And that flies, you know? And if, right. Or that it flies that a black person or a black person's life should be judged by all white people, you know, or you know, black people should not have a say in what happens in any given trial, that whether it includes them or not, you know. It's just, I mean, we're still way, right. way behind.
So we'll be following that. But yeah, I'm with you about the Braves, the Falcons, you know, maybe the Hawks.
The Hawks are okay for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe Dominique Wilkins. I liked him.
Yeah. There's like black. The Falcons, I don't know. You know. So I guess that's kind of it, man. Is there anything that we're missing? You know, kind of talked about.
I meant to ask you this last episode, but before we get out of here, remember they had the top 75 NBA players, of which you had a vote. And I know you had some outside the box people that you included, but for good reason. So there were a couple guys that you mentioned to me, guys I never heard of, honestly, like Tarzan. You gotta tell me about this.
Chuck Cooper, Tarzan, uh-huh. Chuck Cooper, Earl Lloyd, mm-hmm. Nathaniel Sweetwater Clifton. Those are the first African-Americans to play in the NBA, you know. And so I put them down, you know, because I said, you know, I don't think any of them made it, you know. But said, you know, how hard was it for those brothers, you know, the first to play? So, yeah, but I put those three down just to, you know, remind them that, you know.
You talk about influential, you know, in a league that is now 80% Black. You know, the guys that really opened the door for everybody else.
And it was kind of late.
And weren't allowed to succeed like they probably should have if they didn't have all this other outside pressure on them, you know, just being Black in America at that time particularly.
Clifton played with the Knicks. And so funny, that Clifton was this guy, in fact, he's from Chicago. He went to DuSalle where my dad taught. But this guy was a big guy, but he could handle, he could dribble. He was just such a talented guy, a great softball player. But with the Knicks, all they wanted him to do was rebound, you know. And they talk about how he had to really dumb down his game, you know.
Right. Who was the guy with the Tarzan nickname? Because I heard of Clifton, but I never heard of this other guy.
Chuck Tarzan Cooper. I think he also played with the Harlem Wrens. I don't want to misspeak, mm-hmm. but, you know, people should just Google him, Chuck Cooper, you know, just a big guy, you know, enforcer type guy, as you might expect, Tarzan.
talk about a great nickname.
Yeah, that's a great Chuck Tarzan Cooper. And then Earl Lloyd, who I did get a chance to meet briefly, I think he played with Detroit. Mm-hmm. And they all had a distinction. One was the first drafted, one was the first signed, and one was the first to play. I'm not sure which was which between being drafted, signing the contract. I think Earl Lloyd may have been the first to sign a contract.
And Clifton might have been the first to play.
Yeah. I think maybe Cooper was the first to get drafted. Uh-huh. But they each had a different distinction in the same year.
Right. Oh, wow.
Yeah, those were my three in the 70. You know, I was glad to see Tiny Archibald.
Right.
Because people oftentimes overlook Tiny, just a great player. Otherwise, I think everything else pretty much, I mean, I don't know. I don't think I'd vote for Dwight Howard. You know?
I don't think I would have. I mean, he's the analytics guys. Like, they love him because they'll say, you know, statistically, they feel like he dominated the center position, you know, for that time period. But who were the other centers at that time? And all them, you know, they talk about he made all these all MBAs, but they were all, that was all determined by position. So just because you were better than all the other centers in a time where there were no other centers, does that mean you were, you know, how great were you really? But, you know, it's a close call. You got a lot of people who feel like he should have been on there. I do agree with them that you know, maybe the way he's portrayed now and the things he's done the last 7 years or so probably had an effect on how people view him. That's probably true. But, you know, I didn't think he had an overwhelming case.
Yeah. Well, then but good for him. He won a championship finally.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, maybe he may even win two, though. At this point, I wouldn't necessarily bet on the Lakers.
I'm not betting on the Lakers right now. I can't do it. Yeah. I'll bet on the Nets before I bet on the Lakers. And the Nets, I'm not even sure about them.
Yeah. Well, it's too bad. I mean, somebody's got to win this. Because you look around, somebody's got to win. Who knows? It could be Phoenix. Wouldn't it be something if the Suns win and you've got your boy, Sarver, up there raising the trophy?
Oh my God!
Patting the Black players on the head, you know, for good luck.
My N word.
Yeah, I won't say it. I won't say the word. Can I call you my brother? What about that? Yeah, I guess you know, maybe Milwaukee can balance it out. Milwaukee can repeat.
Yeah, Milwaukee. You know? Milwaukee's in the mix. Man, it could be a surprise like it was last year. No one expected really Milwaukee or Phoenix.
Yeah. Well, let's get through this in the NFL season. You know?
Yeah.
Well, usually when the NFL season is in February, that's when I'll start watching.
Right.
Seriously, the NBA.
Yeah. You know,
because now it's just like,
yeah,
everybody's clearing their throats. You know?
That is true. But, you know, the way that the way sports is covered, the way I was talking about this the other day with sports, it's not just sports, it's everything now. It's just like everybody only concentrates. They put so much stock into what's going on right now. Nobody knows history. Nobody has any perspective, no context. Everybody. So now the NBA season's already only 8 games into the season and everybody's making proclamations. When when the season is over, you don't remember anything that happened in the first 10 games. And it doesn't matter. I was looking at the standings, the first 8 games. I'm like, this doesn't mean anything. So you're right.
Right.
No real point in talking about any of this until February.
Except, you know, as somebody said, content. We need content.
Yeah, yeah.
So, content, you know, you got this huge voice. So it's like this huge furnace. And you have to keep shoveling coal into this huge, you know, furnace with insatiable appetite.
Yeah.
So if that means we treat, you know, the NBA each game like it's like cataclysmic. That's the same thing with NFL, you know.
Yeah.
Same thing. Only thing we don't talk about is hockey and soccer. It's just it's still I know it's too big a stretch.
Yeah. And US soccer is getting a little better this year from what I can tell. They've had some wins I've had people talk to me. We need to talk more about soccer as the World Cup.
We may have Rich Nichols on, who at one time represented the women's soccer.
Right.
You know, and he was also Marion Jones' attorney at one point. So maybe we'll have and Hope Solo, I think.
Right.
He represents her. So maybe we'll have those two on to talk soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
And how can soccer, will soccer ever get a foothold in the United States, you know?
Well, I don't know. Like you always say, if they start letting, if they start opening the game up to everybody at the youth level and beyond, maybe it will. When they start letting the best athletes compete.
Yeah, no. They don't, you got to get people, they don't want it. They don't want it to become like the NBA,
right,
where you have all these people of color playing soccer, you know, these people, kids from Central America, South America,
right,
you know, dominating the team. That's what the team looks like.
Right.
And it's like right now, it's like a white middle-class sport.
Right.
And they want to keep it like that, you know. So,
well,
and they're doing a good job. You know?
Yeah.
Probably would like to keep, turn everything into that, you know. Like this whole, you know, we talk about the black quarterback thing, you know. By the way, as we end the show, have our black quarterback power rankings changed?
No, you know, I'm going to go ahead and skip this week because nothing really changed. You know, Lamar Jackson didn't even play. Dak Prescott didn't play. So it's basically the same as it was last week. You know, I'm still going to keep Dak at the top. Kyler Murray, still number 2. Jackson, still number 3. Mahomes, I know everybody's on him, but he's still at number 4. The one change that happened, you know, which is a terrible one, is Jameis Winston, who I had just moved up to 5 the previous week because, you know, he had New Orleans winning and all that. He goes down with a season-ending ACL injury. So, you know, he's lost his chance to really show that he could lead a team to the playoffs and beyond. So that was pretty sad.
Yeah, that was sad.
Yeah, and we'll see. And so now he's out for at least a year, and will he ever be able to get back and get another starting position? Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. And on an illegal tackle, horse collar tackle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Somebody was saying that when you injure somebody like that, should the player who does it be penalized to stay out as long as the player he injured stays out? In this case, should the guy who injured him miss the rest of the year? I don't know.
That's a harsh penalty. But
that is a very harsh penalty.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe it will. Guys wouldn't even think about it anymore. You know. So, all right, brother. Well, listen, man. This has been food for thought. We'll see what the NFL does. Does it continue to cover up? You know, my vote is yes.
What else do they do?
Yeah. Well, just like how they covered up, you know, the severity of concussions and head injuries.
Right.
And how they did the whole thing with race norming. So they wouldn't have to pay, former black football players, you know, how they had, you know what I mean? So this league has just continued to cross over the line of integrity, but it doesn't because it's just almost too big to fail. So we know that, you know, that it's like being the right to a God. There is no accountability. We don't have to be. There's nothing we can do that's going to have people exit our game.
Right.
The sponsors aren't exiting it. The fans aren't exiting it, you know. So
yeah. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, when this is a league that refused to come out with a report because they don't want anything in writing.
Right.
Like, when have you ever heard that?
Right. And
really, it's ingenious. But when have you ever heard that?
Right. Yeah. They just said no. Yeah. So that's the league we continue to cover. You know, we'll be at the games. We'll be at the Super Bowl. Yeah.
Oh, man.
If they'll have us.
Edit this.
I know. All right. So listen, all right, man. So Jamal, where can people listen to our podcast?
Yes. Thanks to the listeners. Continued support. Really appreciate it. Keep listening to us wherever you listen to your podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, all that good stuff. Follow us on Instagram and interact with us on all social media platforms. On Instagram, we are at BrosPod. On Twitter, we are at BrosPod. We'll be putting up clips of this episode and more. And also on Facebook, Bill Roden on Sports. I think we need to create a TikTok page because that's where it's at.
Yeah, now. I think you're right. Yeah, we need to do that. Probably get our Instagram game up too. I guess TikTok
kind
of overtaken.
Yeah, TikTok is the thing right now. So man, every couple of years is something new.
Yeah, TikTok. And then we ought to get cryptocurrency to sponsor our show.
Yeah. I need to invest in that personally.
Yeah. I have no idea what it is, but
they're doing something. They're doing something right. My wife works at Morgan Stanley, and a lot of the people are leaving to go to different crypto companies. So they're getting real people over there.
Wow. Well, you do some intel, man.
I'm on it.
The thing is, when I go to a grocery store, can I buy Snickers with cryptocurrency?
Well, not yet, but that's, I'm sure in the future. And look, someone broke it down to me like this, everything else is digital. What, you don't think money's going to be digital? I mean, everything else is going that way. Why wouldn't money go that way? So, I mean, that's a simplified way to think about it. But
yeah, it's like buying an electric car. I got to buy an electric car next. So.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, people, continue to be healthy. Do not be like Aaron Rodgers.
At least be honest. Stop lying.
Yeah, be honest. Don't be an Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
We'll call Aaron Rodgers. And good luck to who's his backup? Good luck to
Justin Love.
Yeah. Good luck to Justin Love in Kansas City. His time is good. He's catching Kansas City at a downward spiral.
Yes, he is. Yes,
so as long as they keep Sorensen in the defensive backfield, we'll have a shot. I think you may be the only white defensive back in the NFL.
Right. Justin Love, hopefully have a big game. Maybe he can crack into the black quarterback power rankings.
That would be good. Garoppolo pushed our guy in San Francisco further back. With that performance against fucking useless Bears.
Right. Yeah. Even though what's his name? Justin Fields had a good game, and probably his best game as a Bear. So that's a good sign.
Yeah. Glad to have my brother back on.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, everybody. Listen, continue to be safe. Continue to listen. But be safe. All right. God bless. Pray.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.